Hello and welcome to Impacting Your World. I'm Apostle Debbie Viggs. Let's get started with our Colossians prayers, Colossians 1, 9 through 14. Heavenly Father, we come before you to say thank you, for this is the day that you have made and we will rejoice and be glad in it. We thank you for all that you do for us. We thank you for the many blessings and benefits that you load upon us. We are grateful for this, O Lord. We thank you for sending us your Son, Jesus. Jesus, we're grateful for the sacrifice that you made for us on the cross, and by your stripes we know that we are the healed and not the sick. And so we plead your blood over ourselves and our families and all those whom you've blessed us with in this life. We are grateful for this precious blood that speaks of better things for us than the blood of Abel. Thank you for sending us the Holy Spirit, Spirit of the living God. We welcome you into our homes, into our lives. We welcome you into this program. We ask you to have your way in us this morning and pray alongside us as we pray Colossians prayers 9 through 14. From the day we heard of it, we have not ceased to pray and to make a special request, asking that we may be filled with a full, deep, and clear knowledge of God's will and all spiritual wisdom, in comprehensive insight into the ways and purposes of you, Lord God, and in understanding and discernment of spiritual things. I pray that we may walk and live and conduct ourselves in a manner worthy of you, Lord, fully pleasing to you and desiring to please you in all things, bearing fruit in every good work and steadily growing and increasing in and by the knowledge of you, Lord God, with fuller, deeper, and clearer insight, acquaintance, and recognition. I pray that we may be invigorated and strengthened with all power according to the might of your glory to exercise every kind of endurance and patience, perseverance, and forbearance with joy. I give thanks to you, Father, because you have qualified and made us fit to share the portion which is the inheritance of the saints, God's holy people in the light. And I thank you, Father, that you've delivered and drawn us to yourself out of the control and the dominion of darkness, and you've transferred us into the kingdom of the Son of your love, in whom we have our redemption through his blood and the forgiveness of our sins. We pray all this in the mighty name of Jesus with thanksgiving. Amen, amen, and amen. Praise God. Well, this morning, I want us to begin talking about the power of the anointing of the Holy Spirit. But before we do that, we need to also get to know who the Holy Spirit is. A lot of times, you know, we know of the Holy Spirit, but many Christians don't have a relationship with the Holy Spirit. What most have is just praying in tongues. They have the baptism, and you know, they're filled with the Holy Spirit, but they, you know, don't know how to operate or how to communicate with the Holy Spirit and let him lead us and guide us. We are supposed to be following after the Holy Spirit because he's supposed to lead us and guide us into all truth. When Jesus left the disciples, he promised them that he would send them the comforter. You know, he would send them the advocate, the standby. You know, he's everything. You know, he's our comforter, he's our advocate, he's our standby, he's our intercessor. You know, he knows everything. He knows all things. In fact, the Bible says there's nobody that knows the mind of God except the Holy Spirit. And so you and I are supposed to be followers after the Holy Spirit. He's supposed to be leading us and guiding us into all truth. But most times we find ourselves, you know, in detours, we find ourselves in situations and problems because we are not led of the Holy Spirit. You know, the Bible says that those who are led of the Holy Spirit are the sons of God. And so a lot of times we haven't even arrived at that place of being called the sons of God. It's not talking about children. It's talking about sons, you know, so meaning that these are people who have matured in the things of God and can now be led by the Holy Spirit. And so that's the interesting thing, is that as the Holy Spirit leads, he always leads into God's truth. He always leads into the right places. He will never lead us astray. And so, you know, but we find ourselves as Christians still running into major problems in our lives. Not that Jesus didn't say we will have, we'll experience trials and tribulations. However, if we're led by the Holy Spirit, he'll lead us into the perfect destination that God has for us, instead of us staying or going through some situations, even though we may have trials and tribulations, but it shouldn't be as bad as some experience right now. And so it's so important that we understand who the Holy Spirit is. He is the carrier of the anointing that is spoken of in the book of Isaiah chapter 10 and verse 27, the anointing that removes burdens, the anointing that destroys yokes. This same anointing is the one that is You know, he's also the carrier of the healing anointing. He's also the carrier of the anointing that causes us to have breakthroughs in our lives. He carries the anointing that will open doors that no man can shut. And so he is the anointing carrier. However, in order for us to partake of that anointing, we need to develop a relationship with the Holy Spirit, get to know who he is. You know, it's one thing to just desire the anointing so that we can have breakthroughs in every area of our lives. It's another for you to get to know who the person is, who is the giver of that anointing, and to know how he gives the anointing. It's the same thing with wanting to know God. You know, most people want to get something from God through prayer. Just pray for me, but they don't want to spend time to get to know who God is, to develop that intimate relationship with him. And so you find that majority of the people out there only come to God whenever they have encounter a problem. When they have no problems, things are going well in their lives, they don't even want to have anything to do with God. They don't want to go, you know, even, you know, they don't want to have anything to do, go to church or read the Bible to develop that relationship. Most believers don't even want to spend time in the Word of God. They just want to pray. Time to read the Bible. I can't understand why I can't do this. But God is, you know, the Word of God is God. That's Jesus right there. And he, you know, was on the earth walking around with his disciples during his ministry. He told them, he said, you know, it's better, it's expedient, I go away, you know, so that the Comforter may come. Well, what did he mean? Jesus, when he was around, he couldn't be everywhere at that time. He could be also at that person's house or with this person at a particular time. But with the Holy Spirit, you know, so Jesus was with the disciples, and he said, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit to live inside of you. Well, you know, the Holy Spirit is inside of us, but he can be with all of us at the same time. He's not limited to being at one place. He's not limited to the natural. He can be with us every time, even right now. The Holy Spirit is with me. The Holy Spirit is with you. Whatever we need, he's right there to lead us and to guide us. You know, he's right there to teach us what we need to know. He will teach us the whole truth. So he's also teaching. When you're studying the Word of God and you don't understand what you're studying, ask him to help you, to show you what you need. When you run into problems, you know, before you do anything, ask the Holy Spirit, what do I do in this situation? Oh, Holy Spirit, help me. I don't know what to do. He help me, guide me, lead me. He do that, you know. But there's times we know him of just, you know, what the world has, well, even what the church has made him out to be, just somebody who causes people to fall under the power or to do gyrations, and that's it, you know, and that's not the Holy Spirit. Now, when the power of God hits a place and hits you, yes, you will fall out under the power, but not the type that, you know, we do in our, you know, the fake Holy Spirit that most people present. That's not the person of the Holy Spirit. So, of course, the subject and person of the Holy Spirit is one of the most misunderstood, and it's one that misinterpreted in the Christian faith. We find that a lot of the evangelicals see him as this dormant, unannounced guest of the inside. You know, he's not supposed to talk. He's just a guest. You know, we can't even allow him to, you know, control the service. What it is we have to be the ones to be in charge. We follow our, you know, program. If we have a program, this is how it is. And it'll go, our service will go by the way the program is. There is no room for the Holy Spirit. You know, there's no room for the Holy Spirit to do what he needs to do. Even when somebody begins to manifest, you know, or begins to pray in tongues, they'll shut them up because they don't believe in all that. They believe that, you know, when Jesus died, you know, or when that church era ended, that was it. The Holy Spirit wasn't, you know, didn't continue. It's no longer time for miracles and all that stuff. And you find the Pentecostals, they believe that, you know, he's just the force of speaking in tongues and the motivator of spiritual zeal. You know, of course, the Pentecostals, we herald the presence of the Holy Spirit with great emotional display. you know. Then you have the charismatics, you know, who present the Holy Spirit as the operator of signs and wonders and diverse manifestations. But one of the diverse manifestations is, you know, falling under the power anyhow, you know, without even, you know, somebody's trying to speak to you and give you a prophetic word before you can even hear the word, you're out under the power and all that. You know, some even pretend that the Holy Spirit has caught them. They'll start screaming and doing all sorts of stuff. So, of course, for me, who is in ministry of deliverance, you know, I know how demons come out of a person. They usually scream and do all sorts of stuff. So the Holy Spirit manifesting, I find that to be demons trying to come out of a person. You know, deliverance taking place, because the presence of the Holy Spirit is powerful and can cause demons to leave. And so, but most charismatics, most Christians don't really understand the person of the Holy Spirit. And they think, oh, in order for them to, just because they speak in tongues, and in order for them to present themselves filled with the Holy Spirit, at any time you touch them, oh, they're under the power. Now, again, like I said, the power of the Holy Spirit, when it comes, yeah, when he touches you, you will be, you can be under the power, but not some of the stuff we see happening in our churches today, where it's just pretense, you know, just crazy stuff going on. Well, first of all, the Holy Spirit is not a feeling or a falling, nor is he a crying or a wailing. He's not an emotion. The person of the Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity. He is a personality in the order of the Godhead. He is the third person of the Trinity. He is in charge of the affairs of the kingdom of God on this earth, this day. You know, he's the chief executive of the divine program on this earth. You know, he is the one who motivates us. He's the energizer and operator of every revealed plan of God. You know, and if you have a vision from God, he's the one who reveals, he's the one who motivates, you know, he's the one who energizes you and help you to get going with that plan of God. He's the revealer of the hidden treasures of the kingdom of God. And he holds the key to the inheritance that belongs to you and I. We talked about to you and I, it's been given to know the mysteries of God. Well, the Holy Spirit knows the mysteries of God, and he knows the deep things of God, things that you and I are unable to even fathom. The Holy Spirit knows that. He's the most valuable asset to you and I as Christians living in this generation. He is the most important asset in our lives. You know, he's the central figure in any breakthrough that you will want in life, in any area of your life. He is the one that causes the breakthrough to happen. So why is it we have so many counterfeits? Well, the answer is simple. When there's a presence of a counterfeit, it's sure proof that a genuine one exists. That's why you find so many false prophets, you know, counterfeiting the Holy Spirit, trying to do things, making it seem like it's the Holy Spirit when it's not. No other person of the Godhead is more impersonated than the Holy Spirit. And this is because he is the reality of the hour. You know, and so people who don't even have a relationship with him or want to manipulate people, whatever, they impersonate the Holy Spirit. And so you have places, some, you know, some other denominations or so who say, you know, people shouldn't speak in the Spirit, that they're, you know, it's only for the few that are called. You know, it's not, some I've even been told by some that it's, they were told that it's not of God. I've been in services before where people were not allowed to pray in the Spirit. You know, if you pray in the Spirit, it's like you're inviting the presence of a demon or something. I mean, it's just crazy. And so it's because people don't fully understand the Holy Spirit. They want the power that the Holy Spirit has or possesses. They want the anointing that, you know, causes the breakthroughs in our lives, the anointing that removes the burden, the anointing that destroys the yoke. They want that. However, they don't want the person who carries that anointing. And so the Bible makes one thing very clear that, you know, when you read it from Genesis through Revelation, each and every one of us live to fulfill his or her name. For instance, when Jesus called the Holy Spirit the Comforter, he not only called him the Comforter, but he also called him, I like Amplified, which calls him the Comforter. You know, he calls him he says that he's the Comforter, the Advocate. He's our standby. He's our intercessor. He's our teacher. He's our friend. He's our guide. He's our leader. I mean, he has all these names. And so when Jesus calls him the Comforter, he automatically revealed his mission. What was his mission? The Holy Spirit's mission was to make us comfortable here on this earth. The Holy Spirit was sent primarily to establish comfort for God's people. And how does he establish that that comfort? Through teaching us how to pray, through leading us into the things of God, speaking the truth. He's the truth giver, giving us the truth of God. He's our advocate, our lawyer. He's our intercessor. He prays with us. He's our standby. He's our everything. But primarily, he was sent to establish comfort for God's people. Now, Jesus had some level of comfort, but he promised that with the coming of the Comforter, the comfort that his followers, his disciples previously enjoyed would fade into mere insignificance. And so it's important that we examine some names in the Bible and see their relationship with the bearer so that we can understand fully, you know, before we dive into the power of the anointing that the Holy Spirit has for us. So, for instance, when the angel appeared to Joseph, if you remember in the book of Matthew chapter 1 and verse 21, the Bible said, you know, the angel speaking to Joseph, he revealed some things about the person of Jesus. First, he was telling him that, you know, Mary will bear a son and you shall call his name Jesus. In the Amplified says that the Greek form of the Hebrew Joshua, which means Savior. And then he revealed some things about the person of Jesus. You know, he told him that the name means Savior and the mission. He also gave him the mission. He said, for he will save his people from their sins. That is, prevent them from falling and missing the true end and scope of life, which is God. So we see that name, Jesus, and, you know, we see the significance, we see the relationship, you know, with, you know, the name Jesus and its relationship with the bearer. You know, we see that it had a significance and he had a mission right there. Let's go also to Matthew 16. In Matthew 16, we see, you know, Jesus now here speaking to his disciples, and he was talking specifically to Simon, who he named Peter. You know, so bearing the name Simon, which means the reed, which is what the Bible tells us, that one who is easily shaken, it affected Simon. And so Jesus changed his name from Simon to Peter, the rock. What does that mean? Somebody who is stable and immovable. Amen. And so here we see in Matthew 16:18, Jesus said, and I tell you, you are Peter. In Greek, it's Petros, a large piece of rock. And on this rock, meaning Petra or a huge rock like Gibraltar, he says, on this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of Hades, the powers of the infernal region, shall not overpower it or be strong to its detriment or hold out against it. Again, what is this talking about? You know, it's telling us, first of all, Simon, no, it means the reed, one who is easily shaken. You cannot be an effective, you know, witness if you're easily shaken. So I have to change your name to Peter. You know, you got to be a rock, you know, one who is stable and one who is immovable, you know, somebody who is strong to its detriment or hold out against it. Nothing shall overpower the church. Amen. And so we also know, if you read the story of David in having to go to Ziklag and fight and all that stuff, and he took the men of the town and left their wives and everything. And as he was going, he met a man, you know, called Nabal, who refused to help them. And so the Bible tells us in 1 Samuel 25, verse 25, the name Nabal meant. It says, "Lord," this is now Abigail telling, intervening, you know, in before, you know, David was going to come and destroy them. It says, "Lord," she says, "Lord, not my Lord. Let not my Lord, I pray you, regard this foolish and wicked fellow, Nabal, for as his name is, so is he. Nabal, foolish, wicked, is his name, and folly is with him. But I, your handmaid, did not see my Lord's young man, whom you sent." So we see the name Nabal here and what it means. Another man we find in the Bible, often talk about it, but you'll find in 1 Samuel chapter 4 and verse 21, there's a man called Ichabod, meaning the glory is departed. And so it says here, "And she named the child Ichabod, saying, the glory is departed from Israel, because the ark of God has been captured, and because of her father-in-law and her husband." So she names this child Ichabod. And so it was that when the Bible referred to the Holy Spirit as the Comforter, it meant that the primary mission of the Holy Spirit will be to make man comfortable. Now, when Jesus was to be taken away, he gave his disciples a farewell message. And we find this in John 16, verse 5 through 7. John 16, verse 5 through 7. He says, "But now I am going to him who sent me, yet none of you asks me, where are you going? But because I've said these things to you, sorrow has filled your hearts, taken complete possession of them. However, I am telling you nothing but the truth when I say it is profitable, good, expedient, advantageous for you that I go away. Because if I do not go away, the Comforter, the Counselor, the Helper, Advocate, Intercessor, Strengthener, and Standby will not come to you in close fellowship with you. But if I go away, I will send him to you to be in close fellowship with you." Amen. And so the word expedient means profitable. He said that his going had a lot to offer the disciples, his followers, all of us. It would make the Comforter come to make life more comfortable for them. Therefore, it's true that the disciples mourned after he left. They felt like they were orphans. In fact, he even said to them, you know, "Why do you, don't be sad. Don't feel like, you know, that I'm leaving you comfortless. I'm leaving you like orphans, you know." He says, "But I'm sending you the Holy Spirit." And so, you know, they mourned after Jesus left, but it was only for a short time. For after him came the one that took the baton from the bridegroom, and we know him as our Comforter. And so you and I must remember that while Jesus was with the disciples, they enjoyed a good measure of comfort. And Jesus, you know, asked them at one point after he had sent them out into the wilderness, he even said, "When you went out into the wilderness to see," in essence, you know, he actually says, "What did you go out into the wilderness to see?" Well, there were other ministries of his day were like a wilderness compared to his own ministry. And in fact, one of John's disciples joined him after seeing where he slept. You know, so it means that, you know, whilst Jesus was here on earth, he was comfortable. It's not like he wasn't comfortable, because if people were just leaving everything they had to do, businesses and all that, just following Jesus, that means they realized that, you know, being with Jesus meant that they would live comfortably. And so the same Jesus promised his disciples to send the Comforter to take his place, making them more comfortable than they had been with him. And so we see in the book of John 14. John chapter 14, the disciple, Jesus speaking to his disciples in verse 12, he says, I assure you, most solemnly, I tell you, if anyone steadfastly believes in me, he will himself be able to do the things that I do, and he will do even greater things than these, because I go to the Father. Amen. And so one of the first things that we notice that the Holy Spirit did when he came was to bring the disciples out of their hiding place in the upper room. Now, if you recall, Jesus had said that they would be baptized in the Holy Spirit and with fire. Well, that same Holy Spirit and fire came in when they were in the upper room. You know, in fact, before Jesus left again, he told them in the book of Acts chapter 1, and we know this very well, verse 8, that he, you know, you shall receive power. He told them, don't go out there and try to be my witnesses without being clothed with this power from on high. He says, because when the Holy Spirit comes, you shall receive power, ability, efficiency, and might when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And what is that power, efficiency, ability, and might? That's the anointing for breakthrough. He said, but you shall receive power, ability, efficiency, and might when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the end, the very bounds of the earth. Have they gone out without waiting for this power, if they had gone out without having been clothed with the power of the Holy Spirit, they would not have experienced breakthroughs in their ministries. But Jesus says, wait for the Holy Spirit to come, wait for the gift. Let him come, and once he comes, he will clothe you with power. He will clothe you with ability and with might. Well, all that is contained in the anointing, and as you go out, then you can be effective witnesses, because the anointing will be on you, and through that anointing, you can, you know, do, you know, exploits. You'll be able to go out and minister to people, and the power of God will be released through you. Not only will it be released through you, but there'll be, you know, burdens of people will be removed, yokes of sickness, disease, and everything else will be destroyed because of the anointing. And not only will people experience breakthroughs, but you yourself will experience breakthroughs. Now, of course, I'm paraphrasing and I'm adding based on my understanding of what this was, based on what happened immediately after they received this power, this might, this ability. And so one of the things was that when after Jesus was crucified, the disciples were, you know, in the upper room. There were 120 of them. They were actually hiding. You know, they were in their hiding place in the upper room. They were afraid of the people who knew that they had been with Jesus. They that were once fugitives after the Holy Spirit descended upon them and the power of God came upon them. You know, after that, they became rulers in the land. It changed them. It transformed who they were. And so, because we're out of time this morning, we will continue from here this tomorrow morning by the grace of God. But it's so important that we understand, we don't just jump into, let me get the anointing. We've got to understand how this whole anointing, you know, came upon the people and is still coming upon the people of God, those who are ready and who are willing to receive the, you know, this power, this ability, this might from the Holy Spirit. It transforms our lives. It's not just the anointing that, you know, you just need when you have a little problem here. No, this is transformational anointing, and it can cause you to become, you know, to reign on this earth, to become a ruler in your domain, in your land, in your area. And so that's why it's so important. If Jesus said it was so important for his disciples not to go out until they receive this power, well, it's so important that you and I receive this same power before we can be effective witnesses and do exploits for Jesus. And so by God's grace, we'll continue tomorrow morning. Thank you for joining me. I pray that you are blessed. You all have a blessed day. Bye-bye.